Thank you for joining us here at Christ Fellowship for our online message podcast.
Man, a couple years ago, I was still living in Houston, and I was scheduled to do a wedding, and it was some good friends of mine. I was going to officiate this wedding. It was a big wedding. It was like 400 people in this really, really nice place downtown Houston. And so I was excited, but I also needed to get my workout that day. And so about 3 or 4 hours before the wedding, I go out to my garage, and I start working out in my garage. Has anybody ever done Insanity? Anybody ever? Let's see some hands in here. How much money they've made off of us crazy people. Yeah, so Insanity, if you've ever done it. I was doing Insanity out in the garage, and my garage had this epoxy seal on it that covers, you know, the concrete. But when wet, it can be a little slippery. And so when you're doing Insanity, you have a propensity to sweat just a little bit if you've ever done it. So I'm doing the workout. I'm doing it. And towards the end of the workout, there's a part of the workout where you go from a plank position. So I'm on the ground like this. And you move from this position to like a preparation for a push-up, right? Now, remember, I'm in the middle of a pool of sweat, and I'm moving from here to here, and as I go to push up, my hand slips out, and you gotta remember, I've got a really bad shoulder from a football injury, and so my hand slips out, it goes above my head, and immediately I recognize I just dislocated my shoulder with about 3 hours to go for this massive wedding in Houston. And so I did what every man did, I walked around my garage, I like tried to hit things like, you know, you see, like, you know, you see things in the movie, you're like, that looks really cool. What I realize is I'm not that cool. And so, you know, my shoulder's like down here, and I walk in, and Kate remembers this vividly, and I'm like screaming. And she's like, what happened? And I said, my shoulder's dislocated. She's like, you have a wedding? I said, I know I have a wedding, baby. Thank you for reminding me that. So she's like, what are we gonna do? I don't know. And so we did what any, you know, millennial type age would do. We Googled, how do you reset a shoulder? And so she has me laying down in our master bedroom, and I'm got like a towel in my teeth, like screaming. She's trying to like do it, and it's just not happening. So finally, he said, you know what? You just got to take me to the emergency room. Now we have, you know, even less time. And so we get in our van. She drives me to the emergency room. Thankfully, it was actually a privatized emergency room, which I didn't realize was so expensive, right? It's so expensive. They don't tell you that when you get in there. So anyhow, nobody was there because nobody wants to pay that much money. Anyhow, I went there and I had to get in. So I go in, nobody's there. They take me to the back. They said, what's wrong? I said, do I need to tell you what's wrong with my shoulder? It's dislocated. They take me back to the room. Then the ER lady comes out. She's an older ER doctor. And she said, it's going to be fine. It's going to be great. We're going to get you out of here. And I said, here's the thing. I've got to be out of here in like 30 minutes, and you can't give me any medication because I don't want to be up there and I say the wrong name or I make an inappropriate joke in front of 400 people. So you can't give me any medication. Like, don't do it. She's like, okay, here's what I need you to do. She said, okay, I'll do that. If you do this, you've got to relax. And I said, are you kidding me? She's like, no, this is the best way this can go in. It's going to go really fast. If you could just chill out. And I said, okay. So I'm sitting there, and she's kind of holding my arm out. Two nurses had come in the room. They're standing beside me, and she begins to move my arm. And so I'm trying to calm down, and so I begin to say the Lord's Prayer out loud. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. And I didn't realize, this is, you don't realize when you're in pain. I realized about midway, you know, lead us not to temptation, that I am rubbing the nurse's belly as I say it. So if you're a nurse, man, you have a hard job. You have a really hard job. And I know you see some really weird things, but it was like a Buddha belly right there. I don't know what I was doing. I was just praying. And I, here's the thing, I don't even know if it was the guy or the girl nurse. I was just rubbing a belly. And then she got it up here, and then it just fell right in place. It didn't hurt at all. And I was like, wow. And I said, man, I would give you a kiss, man, but I'm married. And so she leaves, and they put me in a sling, and I'm like, I can't wear the sling tonight. I got to wear a suit. Like, I'm doing a wedding. They're like, we got to put you in a sling, just technically. We got to do this. You can take it off later. And I'm sitting on the end of the bed. The male nurse, now, once again, I don't know if this was the dude I was rubbing his belly or not. Might have been the girl. I don't know. He comes in, and he says, so you're a pastor? Yeah, I am a pastor. You know, feeling a little better, but I'm kind of just annoyed. And he said something along the effect that, man, God spoke to me a couple years ago. And I was like, oh, that's pretty cool. And he's like, can I tell you about it? And I'm sitting there trying to, you know, get a move on things. And I'm like, yeah, go ahead, tell me about it. And he said, an angel came to me and said he had a vision or had a word from the Lord for me. And he said this angel began to communicate to him the love of Jesus for this man and some really unique things specific to this man. And he said this angel really encouraged his faith. And he said every now and then he goes back, and he actually had it written out on his phone. He had given me for me to read what the angel had said. He gave it to me, and I read it, and I was like, man, this is incredible. God loves you a whole lot. And he said, I go back to what this angel told me, and it encourages me to love God and to obey him. And I said, that's great. That's great. So I go home, have Kate help me dress, you know, and get dressed. And I go and I do the wedding. I didn't tell anybody I dislocated my shoulder. I just led with the right hand, you know, just shaking everybody's hand and did the wedding. And never told the bride, because, you know, that's the last thing a bride wants to know is right before her wedding, hey, your pastor just had a dislocated shoulder, you know. So I didn't want to mess her game up. And so I didn't tell him until after the wedding. And then I'm sitting at the reception with Kate and a few other people, and this guy who's across from me, he walks around and he says, so I hear you're a pastor, which is, I just love that at that point. You're like, okay, what else is gonna come? He's like, you know, doesn't God speak in some incredible ways? It's like, actually, let me tell you about the way God speaks. I said, yeah. And he's like, I don't wanna weird you out. And I said, no, probably not gonna happen, right? Like, and he said, well, I was in a season of my life where I had to make a big decision, and I was praying, and I was in the Word of God, and I was searching out God's truth and what was he saying, but I still had this, oh man, I could do either thing. And it involved a big cross-country move. It involved his family and kids, and he's like, man, I wanted to get it right. And so he's like, here's the weird thing is it, God started speaking to me through license plates. And I was thinking, did I take that medicine? Like, did I? And he said, no, seriously, like I would pray and ask God some questions. And then like in the middle of the countryside, one car would show up in front of me and it would actually be what I was asking God for. Does that fit inside your theology? Does that fit inside the box that we tend to put God in, that God could actually speak that way? Now, I can't speak for these men. I don't know them personally. But what I knew is both of their testimonies were that their love for Jesus increased and they wanted to obey him more than they had before. And so you tell me, was that from God or not? Right? So in this series, we're hoping to blow up some of the boxes of our faith that we place God in, that we say, you can only operate this way and that way, and for it to stretch our imagination that God really is bigger than we can imagine, that he does, as Eric, Dr. Parks talked about, he speaks in a million different ways because he is a creative God. So my hope in this series and even today is to not to tell you how to think, not to tell you or prescribe to you how you're gonna encounter Jesus, but for you to have a mindset that anything is possible with God. We sing that all the time. We love to quote it. With God, all things are what? Possible. But do we believe that? So today, we're gonna look at a piece of scripture that may stretch you a little bit. Next week, we're gonna stretch you a little bit more. So man, come back with some popcorn next week. It's gonna be fun. And so today, I wanna start out with just a list of some people in the scriptures that you'll recognize, some of these men here. So Abraham, you know, the first one that God came and said in Genesis chapter 12, I'm going to give you a nation like sands, like the sand of the beaches. And so Abraham, Jacob, Joseph, Pharaoh, Samuel, Solomon, Daniel, Zacharias, Joseph, the father of Jesus, Cornelius, Peter, Paul, John. Some giants of the faith, some really pivotal times that we see in the scripture. Here's the I want you to know about every one of these people that is listed up here. Is each one of them had an encounter with God through a dream or with a vision. Every one of them. And so today, I wanna talk about visions and dreams from God. And I wanna open up the scripture, and I wanna show you why I believe it's relevant for us today. So if you have your Bible, I'd love for you to grab it out. If you don't have one, we've got some Bibles over here. You can get up now, or you can get up later, you can grab one. We're gonna be in two sections of scripture today. Acts chapter 2 is where we're gonna start for a short time, and then we're gonna jump into Acts chapter 9. So in Acts chapter 2, we've been sitting in this area of scripture for a few weeks here. Acts chapter 2 is where the Holy Spirit, the promised one, the one who would be our teacher, our God, who would speak on behalf of Jesus, who had gone to be back to the Father, where the Holy Spirit would be poured out. So this has happened in the early parts of Acts chapter 2. And now Peter stands up in the midst of this crowd, in the midst of the other 11, and he begins to tell them what is actually going on. And so we see this in Acts chapter 2. Peter stands up and he says this. He says, this is what's actually going on right now. He said, what has been uttered through the prophet Joel. Look at verse 17. He says, in the last days, it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. So we've been talking about this last days. This was the beginning of the last days, Acts chapter 2. The last day when Jesus returns will be the end of the last days. So guess what? We are now still living in the last days, the same time period that they had begun in, we are in, and it'll continue until Jesus returns, all right? So we are in the last days, and God is pouring out his Holy Spirit in ways that people had only dreamed. Today, around the world, God is doing a new thing. And I believe he is doing a new move that is gonna bring many people into the kingdom of God. It's gonna be incredible. Anybody else get excited about that? Or am I the only one saying, come on, right? And so if we continue on, he says, this is the last days, and I'm gonna pour out my spirit on all flesh. And he says, your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. We talked about the last 2 weeks. And then look at this. It says, your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Visions and dreams. Now, I don't know why old men see dreams. I don't know if they've mastered the art of napping. You know, anybody amen to that? Like, I don't know. Like, I actually tried to figure it out a little bit. There's not a clear deliberation of why is young men seeing visions. But here's what I love about this verse and why I think it gives a great picture of the kingdom, because young and old alike hear from the Father. Somebody else say amen to that. Like the young, even the kids, the teens, the high schoolers, the young adults, they hear from the Lord. But also in this passage, it says that you who have had some life experiences, you that have walked this earth longer than I have and longer than other people in this room, you have value in the kingdom of God. It's a beautiful picture of the kingdom. The young and the old alike are hearing from God and actually walking with him. It's a beautiful picture. And so here's what I want to do. I'm going to break down these two things. A dream. What is a dream? It's a visual revelation from God when you're asleep. Captain Obvious, right? You're dreaming, right? Now here's what's interesting is it's about one third of your life you're going to sleep, right? That's a big chunk of time. And so what I want to ask you is it, do you think it's God's nature that he says, you know, that one third of your life, I'm not going to communicate to you? That's off the tables. Like, you just sleep, you know, get your REMs, whatever that thing is, you know. I would propose to you that I think that one third of our life is actually a time where God wants to speak to each one of us. And for some of us, we're such controlling, such, you know, want to have it our way, that that's the only time that we actually let our hands out and that we actually put down our defenses and that God could actually speak to us. And so I would propose to you that I think that God still speaks in dreams today. I was actually talking to a mentor of mine. I speak to him about once a month, and we were talking about this a little bit. He reminded me how his journey of physical healing actually started with a dream from God that led him to ask some questions and have some interactions. And this week, actually, he said he had a dream about his mom and dad. Each one was unique and very vivid, and both of those led to some inner healing for him to work through with the Father, right? God still speaks through dreams, and we see this here in this passage. But then we have visions too. So what is a vision? A vision is very similar, but a vision is a revelation that happens, it's from God, that happens though when you're awake, when you're walking around, or when you're having a conversation, and you have this encounter with God where he brings a new revelation to you, but you're awake, and it's not necessarily in the real world. The way that I kind of describe it, I've had, man, just the honor of, and just the grace to have a couple of these. What happens is, for me, it's like I see a movie reel in my mind. And so it's almost like an out of body in that moment. And you can even have a conversation with God. But what's interesting is because Kate's been with me when this has happened, like she won't even know that I'm having that. And so I'm like having a conversation with God, but I'm almost outside of time. Does that make sense to anybody? So like I'm experiencing these things, but to Kate, it's just been like a millisecond, right? This is some of the things we see in a vision, and we see these dreams and visions throughout all the New Testament, Old Testament. And so my proposition for you today is maybe we shouldn't downplay those immediately and dismiss them. And I would say we shouldn't dismiss them with our kids specifically. I mean, if you have a child that comes up to you and they say, man, I had a dream last night, man, your ears should get really big and you should get down on your knee and say, will you tell me about it? And you should help them navigate, is this from God or not, right? So with our middle child, our girl, she has just had some trouble here and there with believing things and fear and anxiety. And so we've just tried to teach her just to go to talk to Jesus about it. Like, if we believe that Jesus is who he is, why wouldn't I want her to talk to Jesus? And so I say, ask Jesus what he wants you to know about that fear, right? And so I'll never forget the day that I sent her back in the room. She was struggling. I said, go talk to Jesus. She came back and said, Jesus revealed himself to me. And he had a big smile on his face. And behind him was a massive banner that said, you're welcome, or said, welcome. What was he signifying to my daughter? That you're always welcome to come to me. Come to me with your faith. Come to me with your fear. Come to me with your doubts. But come to me, right? Man, what if I would have just said, nope. You know what? My daughter and I, when we talk about things that are fearful, we always go back to that vision. Remember Jesus said, bring it to me, baby. You always want to bring it to him. Even when you fail in life, because you will, take it back to Jesus. He is welcoming you all the time, right? So we don't want to downplay visions. And what I see in this text is that actually visions and dreams are the language of God in the last days. I want you to hear that. Visions and dreams are, I believe, actually going to continue to increase until Jesus returns. I believe this with all my heart. I think this is the language of God, how he longs to communicate to us. And one of the ways, of course, through his word, through prayer, through other people, through circumstance, but one of the ways we see in the scripture clearly is that he is going to communicate through dreams and visions. And so I don't want us to immediately say, that's not from God. Now, here's the reality. Sometimes those things are not from God. Like sometimes it's not a vision, it's not a dream from God. It's that you ate a leftover pizza last night that was not good, right? And you had a weird dream, right? Burritos, pizza, like that tends to be the case. And so we got to say, like, what does it mean? So the scripture actually gives us some real clear warning when it comes to visions and dreams that I want to make sure we see today. So one is in Jeremiah. You'll see it up on the screen here today. Jeremiah 20:23. I'm going to read verse 25, and so this is the Lord. He says, I've heard what the prophets have said who prophesy lies in my name. What do they prophesy? Lies. We talked about that. Man, you can abuse these good gifts from God. He says, they say, I have dreamed, right? So not everybody that says they have a dream from God is actually from God, right? In Colossians 2:18-19, you can write this down and look it up later. Paul writes, let no one disqualify you, insisting on asceticism, and the worship of angels, going on in detail about what? Visions. Puffed up without reason by a sensuous mind and not holding fast to the head, which is Jesus, from whom the whole body, nourished and knit up together through its joints and ligaments, grows with a growth that is from God. And so he says, man, if you have somebody that's going on and on about a vision or about a dream, and it's never pointing to Jesus, don't let that person influence your life. Just don't do it. Because they're probably trying to get some, you know, make you think more of them or more spiritual mature. Don't do it if it's not centered on Jesus, right? And so Paul says, listen, test everything. Like I've told you in this series, man, everything you hear me say in this series, go back and look at the scriptures and ask yourself, what does this say? Ask the Holy Spirit to open your eyes to what is true. Don't just take it for granted. And so if we have a vision or a dream, I think there's three things that I wrote down this week that I think can help us. And so it's almost like a revelation litmus test. Is this from God? Is this not from God? Here's the three things. Number one, does it align with truth? I capitalize T because Jesus is the way and the truth, right? And so does what you experience, does it align with Jesus? Does it align with his character, his nature, who he is? Does it align with the scriptures, what we see God has done and plans to continue to do? Number two, does it encourage you to align with truth? Does it actually draw you closer to the Father? Does it actually draw you to walk the way of Jesus? If not, I'm telling you, it's not from God, right? God's always gonna woo you. He's always gonna speak to you to draw you closer. And the third one is does what that dream or vision, does what it leads you to, does it actually require faith for you to actually carry it out? Because we see in Hebrews, what pleases God? Faith. He said it's impossible to please God apart from faith. And so when God speaks to us, when he gives us a vision, when he gives us a dream, it's always gonna require an element of faith to actually see it come to pass. Now there's a story in the scriptures that I wanna look at today in Acts chapter 9. So if you can, flip over a few pages to it. We're gonna read in Acts chapter 9 a story of Saul and Ananias. So Saul was a man who was a Jewish teacher, master of the law, was very zealous for Judaism, and actually persecuted followers of Jesus, and actually approved, if not killed himself, at least approved of the killing. We see that in Stephen in Acts chapter 7. And so Paul was a man who wanted to take out those that followed Jesus. And so Paul is actually on the road. He's headed to Damascus because he wants to take out some more followers of Jesus, on the people of the way. So he's headed there, and he has this encounter with Jesus. This bright light shines, And the power of God is there and actually knocks him down, which the power of God can knock us down. And so it says that knocks him down and he sees this light, and that light is so bright that it actually blinds Saul. And this voice says, "Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And this should encourage some of us in the room that when you are going through a hard time, when you're going through difficulty, when you feel persecuted, when you feel pain, listen, Jesus is with you and he's feeling it too. Jesus is actually showing compassion with those that are being persecuted. He said, "Why do you persecute me?" Right? And then he said, "This is what's going to happen. You're going to go into town and I'm going to show you what to do." Okay? So this is where we're at. Saul has had this encounter with Jesus. And then we pick up in verse 10. He says, "Now there was a disciple," so a follower of Jesus, "at Damascus named Ananias." Everybody say Ananias. Ananias. This guy's a hero in the faith that we don't talk about very much. "The Lord said to him in a" what? "A vision." There we go. There's a vision. This is post Jesus' resurrection. "The Lord said to him in a vision, 'Ananias.' And he said, 'Here I am, Lord.' And the Lord said, 'Rise and go to the street called Straight. And at the house of Judas, look for a man of Tarsus named Saul. For behold, he is praying, and he has seen in a vision," there we go, there's that word again, "a man named Ananias come in and lay his hands on him so that he might regain his sight. But Ananias answered, 'Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints at Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who call on your name.' But the Lord said to him, 'Go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and the kings and the children of Israel. For I shall show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name.' So Ananias departed and entered the house, and laying hands on him, he said, 'Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road by which you came, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit.' And immediately something like scales fell from his eyes and he regained his sight. Then he arose and was baptized." Right? So we see, man, this is not just an Old Testament thing. This is not just a Jesus thing. This is New Testament, early church. They had these encounters with God through dreams and visions. Now, as we're talking about in a box, we're thinking about how do we need to get outside of the box. This story tells us a lot of things. Number one, that God speaks to his followers through dreams and visions. So he speaks to who? Ananias, and he was a what? He was a disciple. He was a follower of Jesus. But he also speaks to Saul, who was not his follower. And so this is what I want you to write down. That God actually doesn't just speak to his followers. I want you to hear this. God doesn't only speak to his followers. He was speaking to Saul before Saul ever became Paul, who actually became a follower of Jesus, right? Now, this should encourage our faith, because you know what this potentially means? If we let God outside of this box, that means God is at work at your workplace where you feel like nobody else loves Jesus. He's speaking to people at your work that you think are just the worst people in the world. Maybe even that boss that is a you-know-what, right? Or in your family, or in your neighborhood. God speaks to people, of course, to follow him, but also those that don't follow him. And if you're a follower of Jesus, you know this. Because when you were at your worst, when you were an enemy of God, when you were set apart and opposing God and walking contrary to him, separated, Jesus spoke into your life and he illuminated your eyes and your heart to say, "I need salvation from Jesus. I need to be saved." And Jesus wooed you back into relationship with the Father through his life, through his death, and through his resurrection. See, Jesus spoke to you before you were his follower. And that should give us encouragement that wherever we go, God is moving. He is speaking. He is drawing us back to the Father's heart. And we see this in Ananias. And if we see this, it'll blow our minds and it'll take away some of the box that we put God in. One of the ladies that Kate and I got to know in Houston when we were there was a girl named Amy, and she was a nurse, and she loved people and loved Jesus so well, and we got to host her in our home a couple times and talk to her. She had a huge passion for the Middle East and for the Muslim community to encounter Jesus, and so she actually moved from Houston, and she moved to the Middle East to practice medicine, but also to be a representative of Jesus in the Middle East in a very Muslim-heavy community. And so I sent an email to her and said, "Hey, would you email me just a couple of testimonies, because I've heard a few, and will you encourage our church on how God is moving in the Middle East?" And so I hope this blows up some of the boxes that we put God in. Listen to what she says. She says, "Dreams and visions are a supernatural way that the Lord is revealing himself to the Muslim people. He loves them so very much And I've heard several stories over the past 4 years that I've been in the Middle East of how God has shown himself to people here through visions and dreams. You mean God speaks to people in the Middle East? God would speak to a Muslim or a Jew or a Hindu or an atheist? You better let God out of that box tonight. God speaks. Listen to what she writes. She said, the first dream that I heard of was a girl who was from Iraq. Our group there was connected to her in relationship, and she shared that she had a dream of Jesus pointing to a lamb. And she asked, what does that mean? We took her to the passage in the Gospels where John the Baptist points to Jesus and says, look, the Lamb of God. And we let her read it and let her sit there because we long for the Holy Spirit to teach the people here, and we try not to get in the way and feel like we have to have answers for every question. We can learn something about that, couldn't we? It says that she was amazed by the passage in the scripture. She said a second dream she had that she had heard of. There was a young lady who is now a believer and follower of Jesus. She was 16 years old, and she was keeping a journal of her thoughts, some poems, dreams, and feelings. And in a dream, a man came to her in all white and said that he was the king of the world. He then asked her to see her journal, and he actually read it. She was astonished. Who was this man? Why did he care about her thoughts, her feelings, her poems, her dreams? And about 3 years later, the Lord introduced this young lady to a worker here that said that she knew who the king of the world was. She introduced her to Jesus. This young lady started reading the word of God and is now a follower of Jesus. Does that fit into your theology? Does that fit into the way that we think that God could actually be working all around this world, not just in America, not just in the church, all around our community, different religions, different cultures. Listen, God loves you, but he also loves the person that you tend to hate. He loves you, but he also loves the person that you would never vote like. He loves you. He also loves the person that offends you. This is the Jesus we see. And my hope is that today we could just open up our faith a little bit more to believe that God is able, that he's bigger than we think. I'm gonna ask the communion team to go ahead and pass out the communion elements this morning. And I'm gonna ask you to just take a piece of bread and a cup of juice. And then here in a moment, I'm gonna come back out and I'm gonna lead us through the elements together.